This is Africa Tech Kin with Danny That Guy. Logging into biggest tech stories in Zimbabwe, Africa, and the world, right here on ZFM Stereo.
Welcome to the Africa Tech Kin right here on ZFM Stereo, my station, your station. I'm your host and your guide through the sometimes complicated world that is the world of technology. My name is Danny That Guy, and this is the show that takes a look at the week's biggest tech stories from Zimbabwe, Africa, and the world, and we break them down to help us understand what's going on in the world of tech. We've got a lot to talk about today. First of all, the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe dropped its 2026 monetary policy statement last week. So while this is not necessarily a financial show, there's obviously a lot of very tech-centered parts of that policy statement that we want to be able to analyze and get into today. We also have a follow-up story on something we've been following on this show, the Econet and Econet InfraCo delisting from the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange story. Well, the delisting vote was done last week. There was a meeting where Strive Masiwa addressed the shareholders for the first time in 26 years. And we're going to be taking a look at that and his proposed $3 billion AI vision. And we're also going to talk about the NAMA's new digital arts categories, the AI music video that happened to win Outstanding Music Video. Then we're going to Barcelona for Mobile World Congress, or MWC, the world's biggest mobile show. And there's a focus on Africa in there. We're also going to finish with Samsung's new Galaxy S26. And there's two features that everyone's talking about. So that's what we got on the show today. I hope you will enjoy it as much as I enjoyed researching it. We want you to also participate and contribute to the show. So please get in touch. If you want listening to this on radio and you have access to your WhatsApp, you can get in touch directly into the studio via the WhatsApp number. That's 0772-168-045. Or you can find us on social media. The hashtag is Africa Tech Kin, especially if you're listening to this show on demand. So please feel free, if you're listening to this on radio, you can catch it on demand after the fact on our Current Affairs podcast platform. Just search for ZFM Stereo Current Affairs on whatever platform you use for podcasts. Or you can watch this video on YouTube. Just subscribe to ZFM Stereo on YouTube. So, shall we get into it? Let's get into our main story, the first story really, which is about the Zimbabwe 2026 monetary policy statement that was delivered last week by the Reserve Bank Governor, John Mushayavanu. Now, last week on this very show, we spoke about how the Reserve Bank had put out a directive to all the banks to urgently reduce bank charges. Well, the monetary policy statement obviously underlined that directive. Last Thursday, on the 27th of February, Governor Mushayavanu addressed the 2026 monetary policy statement. We have the official numbers that we're going to get into, and we're going to see how does this monetary policy statement affect technology in the country. So let's start with a follow-up from last week when we spoke about the bank charges. The RBZ has now formally directed all banks and deposit-taking microfinance institutions to implement new fee caps by the 31st of March 2026. So let me read directly from Section 58 of the Monetary Policy Statement at a glance version. This is what it says. Number one, cash withdrawal charges at both banking halls and ATMs are now capped at a maximum of 2% of the withdrawn amount for both US dollar and ZIG withdrawals. Number two, point of sale charges. Your point of sale charges are going to be capped at a maximum of 1.5% of the transaction amount for both local and international cards, with an absolute ceiling of 20 US dollars or the ZIG equivalent. Here's an interesting part. The monetary policy statement says, and quoting, no minimum charge shall be levied on any point of sale transaction, and institutions are expressly prohibited from imposing a minimum fee. That's a direct quote from Section 58 of the monetary policy statement at a glance. So there will be no more point of sale fee minimums. Those are gone. Number three, account balance inquiry charges are removed across all banking and mobile platforms for both ZIG and US dollar accounts. Number four, fees on cash deposits are scrapped entirely. And number five, fees for the new or replacement bank cards can only cover the actual cost of the service, no more markup. Section 55 also confirms that accounts with a balance of 100 US dollars or below remain exempt from monthly service fees, and that transactions of 5 US dollars and below remain fee-free. These mobile money companies can no longer charge for you checking your balance. That is now prohibited by this new monetary policy statement document. Here's something that didn't get much attention in media coverage, but it was there in the monetary policy statement. The RBZ, yes, did tell banks to cut their charges, but it has also cut its own charges.
As the central bank, we provide the RTGS system to the banks. And as you can see from there, we have reduced the charges that we charge to the banks by 11%, almost across the board.
So this is in reference to the actual system that exists, that banks use to transfer money, the infrastructure layer that is underneath these interbank digital transactions in the country. I know we normally use RTGS to refer to our currency, but this is in reference to the infrastructure layer that banks use. So the central bank is saying you have to reduce your charges, but we are also reducing our charges. Of course, this doesn't apply to the taxes that still apply to all money transfers. Let's take note of some of the digital transaction limits that are also in the monetary policy statement. The RBZ has raised Zig mobile money and Zipit limits.
So we have decided to review the Zig limits upwards. The US dollar limits remain the same, where for person to person in US dollars per transaction, you can do 500 per month, per transaction per day. But the limit for the month is 1,000. For P2B, you can do a transaction at 1,000 per day, but the limit for the month is 3,000. That's US dollars. And for Zipit, 1,000 per day, monthly limit 3,000. But you see that on the Zig side, that's where we have reviewed from the monthly limit has now been pegged at 50,000 Zig, which is approximately 2,000 US dollars, and the daily transacting limit or transaction limit is now about 13,000 Zig.
That's more than three times an increase on the monthly cap from before. So the RBZ is looking like it's trying to encourage you to use digital transactions more, especially when it comes to Zig. Okay, now there's a whole section in the monetary policy statement about mobile money regulation and KYC. I think this is probably the most impactful when it comes to technology in the monetary policy statement. This is section 60 to 63 or so. The regulation that's going to be applied to mobile money, and that's your EcoCash, your One Money, your Omari, and so on, as well as the fraud that we have spoken about on this show that has been happening in those spaces, was addressed. Directive number one, MNOs, firstly, must now align with the same fee exemptions that apply to banks, which means transactions of $5 and below are exempt from fees. Up to now, that exemption only applied to banks, but mobile money operators would still charge you even if it was a below $5 transaction. So now, if you're sending someone $2 or $3, it should be free. Well, from the mobile money charges. Number two, MNOs are required to screen all mobile money wallets for ghost users in collaboration with the Civil Registry Department by the 30th of June 2026.
We have a serious problem with the mobile network operators. I think about 2 weeks ago, you may have read in the press where some boys in Chitungwiza were found with 50 SIM cards each. And each of those SIM cards is a wallet. Obviously, those are ghost accounts. Some of them, when the police now try to trace to say, this fraud happened, who was the perpetrator? They hit a dead end because the account that was used to receive that money belongs to a deceased person. So we are ordering MNOs that before the end of June this year, they must have, with the assistance of the Registrar General, screened all their accounts and eliminate any account that cannot be validated by a valid ID through the central registry. And the central bank is going to audit that by the end of June. We cannot have an environment where people are laundering money through ghost accounts.
Okay, so let's unpack what this means. It means that Econet, NetOne, Telecel, they have to cross-reference every single mobile money wallet in their system against civil registry records. That's millions and millions of records in their system. They're going to have to identify which ones are registered to deceased ones, for example, or those who are registered under fraudulent identities, which ones are ghost accounts. And they have 4 months to do it and prove to the RBZ that they've actually taken up this exercise. It's a huge data exercise. Millions of mobile money accounts. There's going to be need for this collaboration with the central registry or the civil registry department, perhaps real-time or close to real-time data sharing between those two departments. Do we have the capability to do it? Well, the MNOs are going to have to figure that out. If your grandmother passed away, for example, and there was still money in her EcoCash account, there was no clear explanation as to what must happen to that money in the account of someone who is deceased. But the directive still remains. Find the ghost wallets, report back at the end of June about what action has been taken. There's also reference to nano loans.
We have noticed that MNOs are issuing what are called nano loans. They say, oh, when you run out of airtime or when you want something like for $10, just dial this *# and give you the loan. They are creating money. Now imagine a mobile network operator with 10 million subscribers, and they give each one $10. That's $100 million that they will have created, not banked by a deposit, not banked by anything. And that's money creation. So with immediate effect, all these nano loans must be underwritten by a commercial bank. They must be sitting on the balance sheet of a commercial bank, and the central bank is going to audit that.
Basically, the RBZ is saying that these MNOs should not be operating as unregulated lenders. If they're going to offer loans, those nano loans, through their mobile money platform, then there must be a licensed bank behind it. So it kind of tightens the regulations around those loans. So a lot of expectations that have been placed on these mobile network operators. The question here, of course, is how they will be able to execute these regulations. Can, for example, the MNOs and the civil registry really create this synergy between them to complete this nationwide wallet audit in just 4 months of millions and millions of accounts? Do we have the technology infrastructure to be able to complete that? What happens to the millions of Zimbabweans in the informal economy who have registered mobile money accounts, but they don't have the documentation to complete KYC requirements? Will they be given sufficient time to regularize? A lot of questions that we'll be paying attention to. Of course, the reason behind this is sound. We've seen all the fraud that has happened with mobile money. And so clearly there was need for some kind of regularization so that people will not be defrauded in the same way that they have been in the past. But implementation is going to be interesting. We'll be watching with keen interest. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Do you think the MNOs, EcoCash particularly, which has millions and millions of active accounts, will they be able to complete this exercise in just 4 months? Please drop it in the comments or share via WhatsApp on 0772-168-045. All right, let's move on to our next story. This one is an ongoing story that we've been paying attention to over the past few months at this point. And this one has to do with Econet. So this past week, on the 26th of February, Econet Wireless Zimbabwe held its extraordinary general meeting that they had been speaking about. And at this meeting, 95% of minority shareholders voted to approve the voluntary delisting from the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange. Now, to be honest, this is what we expected, as we highlighted in previous shows, that likely this delisting was going to go ahead. But now it's official. The voting was done and a very vast majority have voted in favor of the delisting of Econet and the subsequent relisting of Econet Infraco on the Victoria Falls Stock Exchange. As a quick recap, there was the exit offer that was given to shareholders, 50 cents per share, which was split into 17 cents in cash and 33 cents in shares in the new entity called Econet Infraco, which would be the infrastructure company that holds Econet's real estate, towers, fiber, power assets, and so on. So Econet Infraco will then list on the Victoria Falls Stock Exchange on the 31st of March. So the deadline for shareholders to accept this exit offer is the 9th of March. If you hold Econet shares, the clock is ticking. An interesting story from that shareholder meeting was Strive Masiwa himself, the founder of Econet Wireless. This was his first direct address to Econet shareholders in 26 years. And as Strive Masiwa was addressing the shareholders, he actually launched something very interesting. He spoke about Econet AI Zimbabwe. He said it's going to have 500 employees and will be launching shortly in about a week or so. Of course, as of now, Econet has something called Yemurai, which is their AI platform. It's currently handling, reports are saying, over 70% of the calls that come in to Econet. But the fact that Econet AI Zimbabwe is a new platform, well, Strive Masiwa is clearly painting the vision that he wants the company to head into. So will that come to pass? I mean, it's a very ambitious vision. The idea is to create an AI system that is built specifically for Zimbabweans and potentially to expand into other African countries, as opposed to us simply taking what is coming through from Silicon Valley all the way there in America. And he wants us to build it in English, Shona and Ndebele, and then make it available to Zimbabweans. Well, Very ambitious project. He also spoke about Econet Tech City, a 300-hectare technology park that would be near Harare's airport. At this particular tech city, there would be 300 international tech companies powered by 100 megawatts of solar energy. He wants to triple Econet's revenues to $3 billion within 5 years, driven by AI, data centers, 5G, eventually 6G. So clearly, very big, ambitious vision. Of course, the vision that is spoken by the founder of a company doesn't always translate into exactly what's going to happen. Tripling revenues to $3 billion within 5 years is a very bold claim. But who's going to bet against him? I don't know. The only question now is whether Zimbabwe's infrastructure, power, connectivity, government regulations, and so on will be able to support this grand vision that Mr. Masiwa painted. Okay, we're going to take this opportunity to take a quick break. We've been talking a lot of heavy money and financial discussions, so let's take a break. When we come back, we have some more tech stories that are on a little bit of a lighter note. So stick around. This is ZFM Stereo. My name is Danny That Guy. If any of these stories so far are something that you find interesting and you would like to contribute your discussions to it, please 0772-168-045 in the studio, or you can drop us a comment or use the hashtag AfricaTechKin on your social media platform of choice. And we'll be able to see those comments, or you can drop it in the comment section of wherever it is that you may be watching this. Remember, all of this is available on demand in our podcasting platform as well as on YouTube. We'll be right back after this break.
Serving you hits, just the hits.
I got family at the end of the day, that's all I need.
Yo, what's going on? This is Drizzy Drake. This is my station.
Family.
Your hit music station.
Z.
Welcome back to the Africa Tech Kin right here on ZFM Stereo, my station, your station. I'm your host, Danny That Guy. My role is to be your guide through the complicated world of technology. We're taking a look at the week's biggest technology stories and we're breaking them down to see how they might affect us here in Zimbabwe, in Africa, and really all over the world. Let's shift gears right now to something on a bit more of a lighter note. Let's talk about culture and technology, something that we spoke about as well a couple of weeks ago when we spoke about the digital category coming through to the National Arts Merit Awards. Well, the numbers were held this past weekend. I have the results to share with you. On Saturday, the 1st of March at the Harare International Conference Center, I was there. After the record 1,117 submissions, we had these new categories, though. One set of categories was fashion categories, and the other being digital arts. That's the one we're really interested in. The winners of those categories, we got Pot Tradition for Outstanding Female Content Creator, The African Finder for Outstanding Male Content Creator, Ola 7 for Outstanding Podcast, which was a brand new category, by the way, and for Outstanding Social Media Skits, Tokoloshi won that particular award. Very significant, because NAMA is now officially recognizing digital arts as its own category. Content creators, podcasters, and so on will be celebrated by the National Arts Council and the body that celebrates arts in Zimbabwe. So clearly, Zimbabwe is paying attention to the creative economy in digital spaces. Now, the headline that came from the National Arts Merit Awards was the award for Outstanding Music Video, which went to Fake Love by Winky D, directed by Jusa Dementa. Now, Fake Love was completely generated using artificial intelligence. There were no cameras, there was no shooting. It was all prompts that were put together by Jusa Dementa and his team. He, of course, by the way, described, and you can see that in previous episodes of this show, how it wasn't just a case of putting in a single prompt. It was 15 plus AI tools that he used with multiple prompting and a lot of work to put in it. But of course, people were questioning should this be in the same category or space as music videos that were filmed and produced in a more traditional way, because it beat out the more traditionally produced music videos that were in the same category. Of course, we understand simply putting together prompts is not what made this music video. Jusa Dementa has explained in great detail that it wasn't just a case of please make me a music video. He had to do a lot of work to build a coherent visual narrative using these AI tools, and we have to give him credit for being willing to try out these new tools in this medium. However, can you compare the two? Can you compare the creativity and financial investment of a physical video to the prompt-based generation, which is a different set of skills? Well, from NAMA's perspective, art is art, however you made it. What this means is that we can expect going forward, the valuation of arts is going to be different. Because if AI can produce a music video that is an award-winning music video for essentially what would be a fraction of the cost of hiring a full crew, cameras and producers and editors and so on, what's going to happen to those directors, cameramen, producers and so on who've built careers in these spaces? Does that mean they all have to convert into potentially becoming prompt engineers? Or is there room for both of those systems to exist? A debate that's happening globally. It's not just a Zimbabwe thing. And it's interesting to see how this is being interpreted and how it's happening in real life with the NAMA Awards. Okay, let's move on to our next story. And this one is coming through from Barcelona, Spain. Just this week, the Mobile World Congress, or MWC 2026, is happening in Barcelona. It's the 20th anniversary of MWC. It's the biggest mobile technology event on the planet, with over 2,900 exhibitors, more than 1,700 speakers across 24 stages. It's a very big deal because this time around, MWC Barcelona has a dedicated Africa pavilion on the show floor. For example, MTN Group will be exhibiting from its own stand for the first time in the company's history from Mobile World Congress. So already Africa's companies and Africa's digital infrastructure and AI and so on are positioned at the center of global discussions around technology. In the opening keynote, the GSMA Director General pointed out that of the world's 7,000 languages, 2,000 are spoken in Africa. The GSMA announced the first open Swahili reasoning model and confirmed that the two new compute providers have committed to building open African language AI models. That sound familiar? So we spoke about when we were talking about Strive Masiwa's vision of creating Econet AI in Zimbabwe and using that Yemurai platform. Building AI in Shona and Ndebele fits right into this continental trend that is being discussed over there at Mobile World Congress in Barcelona. So Zimbabwe isn't just following the trend, we seem to be leading it. Okay, a couple of quick announcements from Mobile World Congress that will eventually touch Zimbabwe. First of all, if you've been paying attention to networking infrastructure, Qualcomm has announced or unveiled the first Wi-Fi 8 chips. The FastConnect 8800 promises speeds of up to 11.6 gigabits per second, which is a huge leap over Wi-Fi 7. And Wi-Fi 7 is already regarded as one of the faster and newer technologies when it comes to connectivity. Secondly, and this is probably more impactful for Africa, Vodafone announced a partnership with Amazon to boost 4G and 5G mobile coverage across Europe and Africa using Amazon's Leo. Now, if you've been listening to this show for a while, we spoke about Amazon Leo a few months ago. Leo stands for Low Earth Orbit. Amazon Leo is essentially a competitor to Starlink that is coming through to the continent. So there's already an African company that has signed a deal with Amazon, or the competitor to Starlink. The GSMA and the European Space Agency have also announced up to 100 million euros in funding for projects that merge satellite and mobile networks. So this is probably the future of rural connectivity, using these satellites to boost mobile connectivity in spaces where they might not have other means of connecting. What does this mean? Well, perhaps Starlink is not the only solution that is available for Zimbabwe. Perhaps later this year or next year or in the coming years, Amazon's competitor, Leo, might be the solution that also gives added connectivity to different parts of the country. Okay, that's from Mobile World Congress. Let's wrap it up with a quick look at a major technology event that happened in the past week. One of the world's biggest suppliers of mobile phones, Samsung, they had their Galaxy Unpacked event on the 25th of February over there in America. They launched three new phones, the Galaxy S26, the S26 Plus, and the S26 Ultra. This is Samsung's third generation Galaxy AI phones, powered by the Snapdragon 8 Elite Gen 5 chip. It's got nice cameras, you know, better performance, etc., etc. But there were two features that got people's attention. First one is called Privacy Display. It's a world first. It's a built-in display technology on the S26 Ultra that provides what is essentially a privacy screen using software. Now, many Zimbabweans would be familiar with the privacy screen. Zimbabwean men have entered the chat. Normally, that requires an external screen protector or screen cover that you would put on top of your phone that will then provide that privacy screen usage. However, starting with the Samsung Galaxy S26 Ultra, the software on the phone is able to create parts of the phone to darken the viewing angle so that people from either side won't be able to see what's on the phone. You could use that privacy screen on the entire phone screen, or you could do it on a section of the phone screen, or only for specific apps. So whenever perhaps notifications come in and you don't want people next to you to see those notifications, or perhaps you're opening your bank app and you don't want people to see maybe your password or how much money you have in your account, that is a feature that would probably be very useful. Practical, I would say. Secondly, there's another feature called Horizon Lock, which also had a lot of people talking, especially the content creators. Essentially, it is a gimbal in software. And they demonstrated how you could lock your video to a stable horizontal plane, no matter how much you shake it around. If you're only listening to this on radio, then you won't be seeing a demonstration of it. I urge you to please go on over to YouTube and take a look at ZFM Stereo's platform so you can see the video of how this would work. A lot of people who were reviewing it were in shock as to how good it actually works. So Samsung announced these features. In my opinion, these are very interesting features, maybe not enough for you to immediately upgrade your phone, but definitely something to pay attention to and maybe something that we will see in future editions of not just Samsung phones, but everyone else who will now start introducing similar features. Global availability of this phone is supposed to be March 11th. It's already available in some markets, but March 11th, it should be able to be available globally, and Zimbabwe is expecting it perhaps later on in March or early April. Okay. Those are our stories for today. I hope you found something interesting in those discussions. We had something for Zimbabwe, the region, and the world. If you would like to participate in these discussions, once again, please remember to use the hashtag AfricaTechKin and get the conversation going. You can listen to the show on demand via our podcasts, or you can check it out on our YouTube channel. Search for ZFM Stereo on YouTube. Make sure you click subscribe so that whenever the video comes out, you can see my non-AI generated face as we discuss these. For now, current affairs does not end on ZFM Stereo. There's more interesting discussions. Stick around. Patience Musa is coming through next. But as for me, it's been an absolute pleasure going through this with you. My name is Danny That Guy. We'll catch you again in the next show. Bye-bye.
Tune in next time for Africa Tech Kin on ZFM Stereo, discussing all things tech.